In the name of Jesus. Amen. We are in the middle of November already. Christmas decorations are starting to come out, and some have even been put up. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. It will soon be December, and 2021 will draw to a close. We're about a month and a half away or so. In the church, we operate with a different calendar. The church year begins with Advent, and this year Advent begins on November 28th. So right now we're towards the end of the church year. And in the end of the church year, we hear about our Lord's second coming and the end of the world. And that's going to be our topic for today's sermon and also next weekend's, the end of the world and our Lord's second coming. There's all kinds of crazy ideas people have when you talk about the end of the world. And sometimes they'll even say their ideas are from the Bible. And there may be a kernel of truth to that, but the thing you do then is you get your Bible out and you check. Is that really what God's Word says? In today's gospel reading, Jesus is dealing with that topic, the end of the world and his second coming, but he's not going to quite get that far. What he is going to do is he's going to answer two questions. Number one, when is the temple going to be destroyed? And number two, what will be the signs that that is going to happen? And all of this got started because Jesus is coming out of the temple with his disciples, and they're looking around, and they're like, wow, Jesus, isn't this a magnificent building? And it was. It took some 40 years to build. It was a tremendous, beautiful building. It was built with these huge dressed stones that were cut out of limestone. Some of these stones were larger than like a monster truck. And they were stacked up on top of each other. And even today, archaeologists still can't figure out quite how they assembled it with these huge stones. It was very impressive. Not only that, but it was the center of Jewish religion. Everything revolved around the temple. Jesus tells the disciples, he says, do you see these great buildings? There will be a time, a day, when there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Now that's kind of a disturbing comment. And so the disciples, they ask Jesus privately, well, when will these things be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? That's really two questions. In their mind, when the temple gets destroyed, that's going to be the end of the world. They could not imagine a world without a temple. If it gets so bad that the temple is wiped out, that's going to be the end of the world. But Jesus doesn't explain it that way. He says, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and a kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings, and for my name's sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. All of that is spoken to address the question of when is the temple going to be destroyed. And so, if a preacher tells you, look, these are signs of the end of the world, that's simply not what God's Word says. These are specific words spoken to specific disciples about a specific question, about a specific destruction of the temple. This is not saying that we are all going to stand before kings and give witness to our faith before the end of the world. Mark's gospel was written between 50 and 60 AD. So Mark's original readers would have been watching for the signs that the temple would be destroyed. And in 70 AD, it was. The Romans came in and put Jerusalem under siege. They basically starved everyone to death. It was a horrible thing. And after everybody was starved to death, they simply walked in to the city. And then they made a special point of wrecking everything, but especially the temple. These huge stones that were stacked up on top of each other, they, just for the sake of being monstrous, they literally tipped over every stone they possibly could, just to show their power and their hatred for the Jews. There was literally not one stone left upon another. And so within 40 years of Jesus speaking these words, they came true. These events that Jesus prophesied to them about were not primarily signs of the end of the world. These events would come to pass much sooner when the temple was destroyed with no stone left upon another. Why does Jesus tell them about what's going to happen? He wants his disciples to be prepared. He wanted them to know that when things got bad, and they most certainly did, God was still in control. He was teaching them that God and his word is true and to be trusted no matter what. So how would this apply to us today? What does this prophecy and warning about the destruction of the temple have to do with us if it's not specifically talking about the end times? Well, now, just as then, trials and tribulations often cause people to fall away from the faith. Maybe you've heard the phrase, well, there are no atheists in foxholes. That's not really true. There are. In fact, it's those difficult and trying times that often turns believers into unbelievers. The most difficult place to believe in the goodness of God, the hardest time to see and trust in his grace and mercy, is in the midst of evil and chaos. What is the visual image or sign or trademark logo of Christianity? If you could pick one image, one picture of Christianity, what would be the most popular logo, image, identity marker visually? Well, it would be the cross. It would be the cross. The cross is the sign, the symbol of Christianity. But when you look at the cross through the eyes of a sinful world, what's the cross stand for? Death? Punishment, vengeance, defeat, war, famine, natural disaster, family infighting, divorce, death, illness, all signs of evil at work, all signs of sin. And they serve as great recruitment tools for the devil. And so when some people experience those things, they do give up on their faith. They do give up when trials and tribulations start happening. They're like the seed that fell on the rocky ground. They have no substantive root. They endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they fall away. Now, that might sound like all doom and gloom, but to the Christian, it's really not. It's reality. It's the reality in which we live. It's the simple truth of what we face as Christians living in a world that doesn't know and which rejects the truth of Christ crucified. Despite what some might try to tell you, Being a faithful Christian does not guarantee comfort and success. And our hope and comfort is certainly not found in the buildings we gather in. The truth is, life is not easy in this world. And it's especially difficult when it's lived out in faith. But take heart. Nothing has ever overtaken you except which is common to man. You are not being singled out. If you think, well, you know, other people have life easy, but my problems, oh, nobody has it as bad as I do. Simply not true. No one has it easy. The promise of God and His Word is your hope. God sent Jesus to be your Savior. God sent Jesus to die on a cross, His one and only Son, that in Him your sins would be forgiven, all of them, wholly and completely. And then Jesus rose on the third day to remind you that even when you die, even when the fear of death terrifies you, that is not the end. You have hope in a living Lord and Savior. He will not fail. You are not alone. And so when we look around and we say, boy, aren't things getting bad? Aren't things getting worse? And, yeah, maybe they are. Who said that they would? Jesus? So we're like, yeah, Jesus said that's the way it was going to go. Who said He would be with you all the way through? Jesus. Who said He would forgive you all your sins and give you the gift of eternal life? Jesus. Who has the power to raise the dead? Jesus. All things are in His hands. And so when we look around and we see things happening around us, we are reminded, yes, the Lord is still in control. And next weekend, if our Lord hasn't come back before then, we'll hear more about the end of the world and how our Lord tells us to prepare for that. In Jesus' name, Amen.